Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Jan van Muren, good morning to you. How are you? Have you ever bungee jumped?
Good morning. I have indeed, off the Storms River Bridge.
But why?
Because it was there. I was a student. We were still immortal.
Ah, of course, of course. A few beers later.
Not at all. No,
really?
No, I don't even know if you're allowed to be drunk if you're on there.
That's interesting.
Because of the safety.
Yes.
Because of the safety issue. But no, it was amazing fun, and I can.
And isn't Storms River one of the? Isn't Storms River one of the highest, certainly in South Africa, but almost in the world?
Yes, it for the longest time it was the highest in the world. As far as I know, it's the highest single arch bridge, and it certainly ranks as one of the highest in a particular class. I'm pretty sure the Chinese have built one that's higher because it always has to be bigger and better.
Yes.
The bungee jump at the Storms River was one of the highest in the world. Then the rebound, the first rebound is as high as the bungee jump at Vic Falls.
Oh, my God.
And then the third rebound is as high as the bungee jump at the one in Mossel Bay. Yeah.
I can actually throw up just thinking about this.
it was an amazing experience. Once again, you just lit the safety there is fantastic, and you just need to follow instructions, apparently.
Yes, and make sure they're telling it that it's you who needs to jump and not your boyfriend, right?
Yeah. Truly, while I was jumping, it's the quietest quiet I've ever heard and felt in my life. It was really amazing.
That's so interesting. So I can't do anything with heights. At somewhere in Mpumalanga, and I can't remember, near Kraskop, there is one of these gorges, and my wife went on one of these. It's almost like a swing across.
Yeah, it's a king swing.
That's what it is. And funny enough, that was exactly the comment that she made. She absolutely loved the silence of it. That was an incredible thing for her. Look, I hate silence.
Yeah. we've been on the King Swing as well. My wife hates it.
Yes.
She much prefers
the adrenaline,
the sensation of a bungee jump than the sensation of a swing.
Yeah, look, I like none of the above. Either way, that is not even the conversation we wanted to talk to you about. We saw a news article this week that Pick and Pay are allowing, in some stores anyway, payment with Bitcoin.
Yeah, 39 stores around the country, including many stores in the biggest cities. So, you know, all around Joburg, Pretoria, Durban, Cape Town, I think East London and Port Elizabeth as well. And with the plan to roll out to their entire network of stores in South Africa in the next few months. So it's a huge coup for the cryptocurrency faithful and the adoption of cryptocurrency in South Africa. We went out and tested it, and it works like a charm.
Incredible. It's really just remarkable. But how much uptake do you think there'll be of it? I mean, how many South Africans are able to or engaged enough with cryptocurrency to be able to use it as real currency?
Yeah, that's it all depends on how reliable the statistics we have are in terms of the number of South Africans who are banked and unbanked and accessibility to traditional finance and stuff. So based on the data that I've seen, the thing about the South African market and the reason things like mobile money and all that stuff haven't taken off here, besides the fact that our banking industry, interoperability in our banking industry, like SaaS switch fees and stuff, is really expensive, and that hurts those kinds of services. But it's got to do with the fact that traditional banking is relatively accessible in South Africa as opposed to elsewhere on the continent, right? And so one of the big predictions for crypto is that it'll help financial inclusion in places where access to traditional finance is extremely limited. Now in South Africa, with the launch of digital banks and banks like Capitec, who specifically went after the underbanked in South Africa, you know, one wonders how big that addressable market is, because the fact is for people to start using Bitcoin as a payment method, it has to offer something better than our current banks are doing, and that's arguable, that's debatable, and I say that as someone who's really let's say invested in cryptocurrency. Like I think that there's tremendous future in the technology and all that stuff. But the question of how much uptake we'll see just based on this kind of feature, you know, the ability to make payments, I don't know. And honestly, it's because I don't know just how bad the situation is for the underbanked in the country. It feels like it's a very understudied market segment. And you know, you look at these sort of documentaries that are done by the crypto faithful in South Africa. For example, there's a thing they call Bitcoin Surfer Kids, which is based on an initiative in Brazil called Bitcoin Beach. Anyway, and they're down in Mossel Bay. And those kids just don't have access to bank accounts. They don't have access to savings products.
Is that when peer-to-peer payments will become a more of a thing, where all you really need is a cell phone?
And so, but even, you know, among the fintechs in South Africa, we've seen like a revolution of access to things like card payments, you know, your Ikokas and Yokos and all those kinds of devices that make it really easy as a small business to get set up and accept credit card payments. But those credit card payments take 1% to, you know, 3% of every transaction, whereas these Bitcoin transactions are much cheaper. So it's for merchants, the Bitcoin transactions are much better. Now, the question is, are they going to be much better for customers? Because that's what's going to drive adoption at the end of the day. And we'll see, you know, maybe there's something about these Bitcoin payments that really just sparks uptake in South Africa.
That's what I think is going to happen. I think this might well be just, there might be elements of this that get converted or used in the spaces that you've mentioned, for example, with the underbanked. But what happens, for example, if I buy something on Bitcoin and I want to return it, is Pick and Pay able to return Bitcoins and they're going to return money?
Yeah, that's a good question. We didn't ask. We bought a bread, so
yes.
I don't think we're going to return that.
You weren't going to return it. Absolutely.
But yeah, that's a great question. Whether they'll return it to you in Bitcoin or cash. I would imagine cash because of the volatility of Bitcoin.
Yes.
And so, you know, you'd be able to nominate, you know, how they pay you back. I would imagine that they can't pay you back onto a credit card because that's not how credit card refunds work. So it'll have to either be out in cash, like they'll pay you out in cash, or to a bank account, or maybe onto a debit card or something like that. But, it's an interesting question. Something we did not test. One thing I want to add on the informal sector, I would gladly pay my car guard with Bitcoin than carry around loose 5 rand and 2 rand.
Well, this is always my problem, is I very rarely have cash on me anymore. And I feel so bad for the car guards and for people that I just want to give money to because I no longer have that on me, or very rarely in any event. So we do need a solution to that. Mark says, good morning. Bitcoin mining, its usage of electricity is killing the environment. So that's a terrible idea. We don't have time. We're actually over time. But Jan, is that a factor?
No. So I'm just going to say that outright now, that is propaganda.
Right.
I don't have time to get into it now, but it was an easy stat for anti-Bitcoin publications to plug into, and now I sound like a propagandist myself.
No, but it's something you've looked into. So is it untrue?
Yeah. So obviously it consumes a huge amount of energy, but it's one needs to go and compare how much energy similarly sized systems consume as well. How much does the global financial system consume? That's not really like for like, because you'll have to go look at transaction volumes and that sort of thing to make it fair. But if you compare the kind of functionality that you get out of Bitcoin, go and compare it to something of equal global scale. To say, oh, it consumes as much energy as a small country is not, it makes for a great headline, but it tells you nothing about like the relative energy consumption of systems like this. And I suspect that if you say, you know, if you take all the gamers in the world together and how much energy they consume, then, you know, you could say, yeah, they're killing the environment too, and everybody should stop playing video games.
All right, that's where we leave it. It is 7:01. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.